Mission Mobilization Chats with Ryan Cho, Multiplying Mission Mobilization Movements. This podcast is powered by Global Mission Mobilization Initiative. Subscribe, watch, and listen on YouTube today. Find more exciting resources, teachings, and tools for mission mobilization on globalmmi.net.
All right. Well, welcome to our 31st episode of Mission Mobilization Chats, where we look at the foundational importance of comprehensive mission mobilization and how to see it understood and implemented across the global church. And so in this episode, we want to look at the fundamental concept of true discipleship, and also how it impacts and influences the world for Christ. So discipleship and mission actually go very much together. Discipleship and mission mobilization really are the same subject, just two sides of the same subject. So the problem is that we often overlook the vast importance of discipleship in our mobilization efforts. So it is two sides of the same coin. Discipleship here, mobilization here. But when we focus on mobilization, we often leave the discipleship piece out. And so part of our calling in mobilizing churches is actually to help our people to become rooted in discipleship with Jesus, true New Testament kind of discipleship. All right? So this is not something external to mobilization. It's not something separate from mobilization, but it's directly connected and tied to mobilization. All right, so biblical mobilization then is actually enabling the people of God to grasp the big picture plans and purpose that God has, where He's leading history. That's part of biblical mobilization. Now, that's a little bit different of a definition than what we often understand related to recruiting long-term workers. That becomes the focal point of mobilization, and that is a part of mobilization, but it's not actually the whole of the biblical definition. So the biblical mobilization, again, is enabling the people of God to grasp the big picture plans and purpose of God in His redemptive purposes and where He's leading history. What is the culmination of this redemption plan and purpose of God? Well, that's part of what we do in biblical mobilization. So simultaneous to that, however, as we're encouraging this big picture understanding of the redemptive process and plan of God, we also simultaneously want to be enabling disciples to be growing as wholehearted followers of Jesus, fully aligning with how God wants their lives to be contributing to where He is leading history. The idea that every believer is redeemed to actually participate in the Great Commission. Well, if you're a disciple of Jesus, if you are born again, then He wants your life to be contributing, and He wants you to be partnering with Him in the big picture plans of His Great Commission. So we're going to look at a passage in this episode that directly connects these two subjects, all right? So it's found in the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount, we know, is Matthew chapter 5 through 7. So those three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus provides a very, very powerful illustration of this divine connection that's in His heart between our growing in true discipleship and then the resulting impact that we can have on entire communities with the gospel of the kingdom. All right, so maybe you haven't seen that in the Sermon on the Mount. Many of us overlook this. Okay, it's a very easy idea to not see, to easily kind of read through, to read over, but to not really think about what Jesus is actually saying. And this is what he's getting at. True discipleship directly connects with our ability to influence entire ethnic and subculture communities with the gospel of Christ. Okay, so where do we see that? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, we're all familiar with the eight Beatitudes, right? This is kind of a commonly known and understood thing across the body of Christ. Well, Jesus teaches that in Matthew chapter 5. He lays out these eight characteristics. And really what these eight characteristics are, they are the foundation of true discipleship. That's how you can define or understand what are the eight Beatitudes. Well, they're the foundation of what true disciples really look like according to Jesus. So what they do is all eight of them together. And another word that you can use for beatitude is characteristics. Okay, so these are eight characteristics that when you put them all together, they actually form a picture of what Jesus is looking for or seeks, or what Jesus defines as a true disciple. So if you want to know, what is Jesus's example or illustration of a true disciple? You look to these eight Beatitudes and you put the eight characteristics together, and this is a picture of what a true disciple looks like to Jesus. And so each of these characteristics, each Beatitude, is some specific quality that Jesus is wanting every single disciple to be growing into. And so all believers, okay, no matter how educated, uneducated, literate, illiterate, every single person who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus and who says, I am a born-again believer, we are meant to be growing and operating in every single one of these eight characteristics, these eight Beatitudes. Now, it's important to remember that these Beatitudes, they're not natural. So sometimes we think, oh, I can just kind of grow in these characteristics naturally of my own willpower. Well, that's actually not how they're set up. Instead, God requires that through relationship with Him, we receive from Him the ability to actually walk out these eight Beatitudes. So He's ready, and He's already promised through His death and resurrection. Jesus says, I'll give you everything you need to walk these eight out in a growing kind of way. Now, the key for us is to believe as true disciples that these eight characteristics, that we can actually grow in them. Sometimes we think, well, these are kind of out of reach. That Jesus was painting a picture, kind of an idealistic picture, many of us will say. Okay, and yeah, those are great aspirations. Those are great things to maybe want to grow into, but we really can't walk them out the way that He's calling us to. Okay, well, that's not the understanding He wants us to take. Instead, we need to believe that He's given us these characteristics. He's given us the power to walk them out through His blood and through the Holy Spirit's enabling. Then that means we can do it. Now, we will fail. We will make mistakes in it. We'll have setbacks, and we'll have to recommit ourselves to these eight. But we must believe that they're attainable. Okay, that's part of the key in growing in these eight characteristics. All right, so what He does here is He's actually focusing on the inner life issues. And He does that very much on purpose. He's not talking about spiritual gifting here. He's not talking about your potential external ministry and how you'll serve Jesus by serving other people. He's actually saying a true disciple isn't focused on those things. Those things will come out of the overflow of our lives when we are true disciples. But He's saying, no, my definition of being a disciple is all about the inner life qualities, okay? All about areas that you are growing in, and then He lists all of these specific areas. The reason He does this, I believe, is because He knows our tendency in our weak flesh. He knows our tendency to rely and to trust on our natural abilities, on our natural skills, on our strengths, and to think that this is enough to actually accomplish spiritual things. It's not. Okay, so I know very gifted people that spiritually might have a lot of gifts, but because they haven't developed these inner life deep qualities, actually the spiritual impact that they have is quite small. Even if they might have big churches, big ministries, okay, the actual spiritual transformation that the Holy Spirit is using their lives to bring forth in other people's lives is actually quite small. Why? Because they're not necessarily developing these deeper inner life characteristics. This is why this subject matters so much, and I think you're already seeing how it connects with mission and how it connects even with mobilization type things. All right, I love that Jesus, you know, throughout the whole, all of his Gospels, this principle is very strong, but in the Beatitudes, it's also very strong. The idea, he's concerned more with who we are becoming, who we're becoming spiritually in the inner life. He's way, way, way more concerned with that than he is actually with what we do for him. Okay? In our humanness and in our churches, we reverse it. We focus on what we will do to serve him. We focus on how we are serving. Oh, we want to do this for God. We want to do that for God. But we're not really so focused on who we're becoming in terms of our inner life qualities. That's the side that he cares most about because he understands the right order of how we're created. If we will grow in the inner life issues, then the natural outflow of that will be serving him, and will actually serve him a lot better, and will impact a lot more people with the true impact of the spiritual life that is being developed in us and then going outward through us. So I love this about the Beatitudes. They bring us back to what matters as a disciple. Yes, you will serve Jesus, but don't focus on that. Focus on developing your inner life stuff, and then out of that reservoir, you're going to bless many, and you will be used in a great ministry kind of outlet. All right? So the Beatitudes prioritize then what Jesus cares most about in terms of our growing in true discipleship. So they bring our discipleship back down to the essentials. Okay, you've heard many things in teachings and sermons and messages related to discipleship. All of us have. Okay, some of them biblical, some of them not necessarily biblical, but they're good ideas. Okay, what the Beatitudes do is bring us back from the mouth of the Son of God himself, bring us back to the essentials of how he defines true discipleship. And so this is absolutely necessary to be focused on these things. Now we're going to transition a little bit into the mobilization side. And we're going to see how this passage connects. So when we sometimes talk about Jesus's great commission, we're often referring to it in terms of a few more professional missionaries who will go out to other nations preaching the gospel. That's the traditional idea that we have of the Great Commission. We just need a few more missionaries to go and preach the gospel among the unreached, and we will be doing Jesus's commission. Okay? That's actually not a scriptural idea. All right? Jesus has a very different plan for how he wants us to be engaged and for how he wants us to fulfill, to see the culmination of this great commission that he's given to us. So our passage today, Matthew chapter 5, it is going to tell us a little bit about his plan. Okay, so every disciple is actually meant to be involved in the Great Commission. It's not just about a few more missionaries. Every single disciple, as we've already said, is meant to be dynamically engaged. Okay, and so they consider first the kingdom of God, and then they consider, Lord, they're seeking first the kingdom of God, and then they're saying, how can I be used, Lord, in this Great Commission thing? Okay, so according to this passage, and we'll get into it in a moment, the Great Commission is actually millions of ordinary disciples who are reflecting and who are growing in an increased measure in these eight Beatitudes, these eight characteristics, okay? And they are choosing to plant themselves, their families, their jobs, in different places around the world. Some of them very close to where they are, some of them more farther distant away from the country or the people that they are from. Okay, so it's the Great Commission, millions of regular disciples. These are not professional missionaries as we've traditionally understood it. But these disciples are growing in these eight Beatitudes. They're very committed to these eight Beatitudes. And they're saying, as a result of this, I'm sensing the Spirit of God leading me to maybe to my coworkers, maybe to my family members, right in the place that I live. Okay, that's everybody is meant to be involved in that part. But then some are going to then go and plant themselves in a near culture people group, maybe 50 kilometers away from their hometown. And then others are going to go even farther to distant culture people groups. So it's millions of these kinds of disciples. We're not professional missionaries in the classical way of understanding that. Okay, Jesus is, we're putting that on the shelf for now. Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5, the Great Commission is millions of regular believers growing in the eight Beatitudes, sensing by the Spirit, okay, I think God is saying go over there and go over there. Not for a little bit of time, but relocating yourself, living among these people for a long period of time for the sake of establishing the kingdom of God. For the sake of planting little Bible studies and little churches, little house fellowships in different places all over the world. So what we could say is that the Great Commission's fulfillment is actually reliant, and I believe this is Jesus' point in Matthew chapter 5, the Great Commission's fulfillment is reliant upon disciples who are committed to cultivating these eight characteristics. We never hear this preached about. Okay, I believe the eight Beatitudes and the whole Sermon on the Mount are a core, what we could call missiological teaching, one message, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, that actually gives us a blueprint for fulfilling the Great Commission. Okay, but usually we've not connected the dots and seen it like this. Okay, so the fulfillment again is reliant upon disciples who are developing these eight characteristics. We're not going to influence the world for Christ unless we are cultivating these eight characteristics deeply in our lives. And that's Jesus' whole point in Matthew chapter 5 related to the Beatitudes. Okay, now we're going to look at verses 13 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12 is the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16 is about being salt and light in a city set up on a hill. You remember that? Okay. Now, these two texts are dynamically connected. Okay. But we don't hear them preached usually and understood together. We usually hear a talk about the Beatitudes and then kind of a stop or a whole different message later at some other time, totally disconnected from the Beatitudes, about verses 13 to 16, being salt and light in a city set upon a hill. But it's actually the same subject. Jesus has not stopped preaching. There's no break in the text. He gave the Beatitudes, and then immediately he says, you who are doing the Beatitudes, that's you, you now are salt because you're growing in the Beatitudes. You're light because you're growing in the Beatitudes. You're a city set upon a hill because you're growing in the Beatitudes. They're all connected in the text. So what's the point? Well, Jesus, in his heart, there's a clear connection between disciples, you and I, born-again believers, who are growing in these eight Beatitudes, these eight characteristics in our lives, and then a connection between that and the expansive spiritual impact that is possible in the world among all of these ethnic peoples, these ethnic communities, these subcultures that right now are outside of a relevant hearing of the gospel. That's the whole point of Matthew chapter 5. There's a divine connection, growing in the characteristics, impact among the unreached communities of the world. Okay, so what Jesus is doing here is actually showing us his primary method for transforming the ethnic people groups and fulfilling the Great Commission. Okay, he's showing us how far, how committed he is in seeing all the families of the earth, the villages, the towns, the cities that are outside of a relevant hearing of the gospel. He's showing us how far he's willing and ready to go to reach them by saying, I want all my disciples growing in these characteristics, and then all of my disciples transplanting themselves in some way. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's crossing continents, okay? That's a traditional idea, and we still need more of that, a lot more of that, but not everyone's going to do that, okay? But everyone will transplant themselves in some way, even in their town, in their city, in their village, in their university, whatever it might be, for the sake of preaching the gospel. But we can't forget the earlier part. We have to be growing in the eight characteristics. That's what empowers us to impact and to be salt, light, and a city on a city set up on a hill. All right, so this is Jesus' simple plan for fulfilling the Great Commission. It's not complex. We've made it very complex because we haven't really wanted to follow his ways of doing it. So we think, well, we don't say this, but maybe we know a little bit better than Jesus. No, we do not. Okay? He's the all-wise God, and we need to listen to what he says. Eight Beatitudes, characteristics. If you're growing in that, then you will be salt, light, and a city set up on a hill among all the ethnic people groups. So this is his blueprint, I like to call it. His blueprint for how he wants to spiritually impact all the ethnic peoples in the earth. It's a global plan. And this global plan has not changed over the last 2,000 years. Since Jesus gave it 2,000 years ago to his disciples, when he gave Matthew chapter 5, okay, to his many disciples, not just the 12, okay, this is what he had in his mind. I want, this is the Lord talking, I want to see my people going out in the Great Commission. How? This is how they're going to do it. Grow in the eight Beatitudes and then transplant themselves and live, not just as a traditional missionary, but as an engineer, as a doctor, as a lawyer, as a tax preparer, whatever your job, as an accountant, whatever your job, you're in this new location, but you're preaching the message and you're shining the light. That's also in Matthew chapter 5. You're shining the light of all those beatitudes and characteristics and the inner life that is in you. You're reflecting Jesus to all the people that are out there that are around. So this is a global plan. And what's important to remember is that Jesus will not fulfill his plan apart from us. Now he could, he's God, but he's chosen not to. He says, I love my bride so much. I'm so committed to my body of Christ that I could do it myself, but I don't want to. I want to partner with my people who are obedient to me in seeing the world reached for Christ. That is why the world has not been reached yet. He won't do it by himself. He's waiting upon us, not just a few professional missionaries. He's waiting upon us as the corporate, the global, the whole body of Christ to take up this divine, simple blueprint to fulfill the Great Commission. All right, so let me say it again in a few maybe summary kind of terms. Fulfilling the Great Commission is millions of ordinary believers who are growing and cultivating these eight Beatitudes in our individual lives. That means we need to go study the eight Beatitudes, each of them, not reading over them quickly. It's easy to read over verses 3 to 12 really fast and move on. You don't want to do that. You want to take each verse, each Beatitude, point by point. Lord, what does this mean? Go study it. Find books that talk about, find commentaries about these things. Okay, study them out so that we know what it means to be growing in them in a very practical way. Okay, not kind of a confused poverty in spirit. Well, what is that, Lord? I don't really know. No, we need to study it. We need to understand it and see how to apply each one of these eight. Okay, so fulfilling the Great Commission, millions of ordinary people growing in these eight characteristics, which results in our being salt, light, among the communities where God places us. Most of that is going to be in our home communities. And then some going to near culture peoples that are different from your own people group. And then some, even more, to distant culture peoples. All right. Now, these millions of ordinary believers, we are also becoming aware of Jesus' warnings that he gives in these verses 13 to 16, attached to being salt and light. Okay, we want to steer clear of those warnings. Now, we don't have time to get into those warnings in this episode. That's not the point. Go and read it on your own. Two very clear warnings in verses 13 to 16 of Matthew chapter 5 related to being salt and light. Okay, these are things that many of us fall into. We don't mean to. We don't realize it. Okay, we're not doing it on purpose, but we are guilty. And so Jesus is saying, I'm wanting to warn you to stay away from those areas that you easily fall into. Okay, so that you don't end up being salt, light in a city set upon a hill. So look at those warnings. So the Great Commission, again, is millions of these believers who are aware of the warnings, who are staying clear of the warnings that are attached to being salt and light, and that are letting their light shine before all people. Okay, if you remember, and you can go look at it on your own, but one of the warnings is kind of hiding our light. Very common for believers to hide their light. And Jesus is warning us in this passage, don't do that. Instead, let your light shine before all people. Okay, and in doing so, when we let our light shine before all people, that means we're declaring and proclaiming the full gospel of the kingdom to everyone on the planet. Not me as an individual, but collectively, all of these millions of disciples together, walking these eight beatitudes out, letting our light shine among all men, overcoming the two warnings. Wow, this is a powerful, powerful kind of blueprint again of what God has in mind. So as we look at this, what we're going to see is that multitudes are going to relocate to other parts of the world, okay? Mostly in their own country, mostly in their own province, okay? A limited number will go long, long distances, though again, we do need more of those. Now, in closing, I just want to point out one important thing that is often misunderstood related to this passage, okay? Some see the promises of being salt, light, and a city on a hill as representing all believers, okay? Every Christian is salt, every Christian is light, every Christian is a city set up on a hill, okay? Now, it's true that we all have the capacity to be that, all right? But a large multitude, we might even say a majority of the global body of Christ, are actually not walking this out very well. We're not functioning as salt, light, and a city set up on a hill. Why is that? Okay, well, some of it has to do with the two warnings that we just said that Jesus highlights in verses 13 to 16. Go back and look at those warnings. We need to overcome those warnings so that we're not hiding our light and not walking in what he meant us to walk in, okay? That's one aspect, but a much, much bigger aspect is that the Beatitudes passage is directly connected to the salt, light, and city on a hill verses, okay? So he's saying, you who are faithful to these eight Beatitudes, you're the ones that are going to be salt, light, and a city set up on a hill. Not every believer is committed to these eight Beatitudes. Every believer is able to be, every believer is invited by Jesus to be characterized by these qualities, but not every believer right now is. All right. So salt, light, and a city set up on a hill in Jesus' heart and his mind is directly connected again to the discipleship issues, the inner life issues. That is why this is so important. So not every Christian, not every person that says, I'm a born-again follower of Christ, is acting right now or operating or functioning as salt, light, and a city set upon a hill. They can be, though. And that's what gives us hope. That's why we want to teach this passage. That's why the Beatitudes are so vitally important, is because they are the criteria, so to speak. If we're walking in those eight, then we can become that believer who Jesus says, you're salt, you're light, you're a city set upon a hill, because you actually now have something to give away. This is what we want to encourage people with. All right. So in closing, I just want to challenge us that we need to be mobilizers. We need to be a people that are calling our churches and our disciples to embrace these eight characteristics. Okay. That's so, so vital. Don't overlook them. Again, this is foundational Christianity. These eight characteristics are foundational discipleship according to how Jesus defines it. And not only is it important just because of that, but then it's also the qualifier that enables us to be effective salt, light, and a city set up on a hill that influences the masses of unreached peoples right now in the world with the kingdom of God. This is the blueprint of Jesus. This is his method to fulfill the Great Commission. All of these believers impacting in an outward way, most right around their families and their cities and their communities, some going to near culture, not too far, and then some going to distant culture peoples. Amen. Let me close us in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us such a clear description in Matthew chapter 5, Lord, of what it will take and what your plan is to fulfill the Great Commission. Lord, it really is simple. Lord, getting our disciples walking in your kind of discipleship, which is these eight Beatitudes, and then being open and not and overcoming the warnings that you give us, not hiding our light, not letting our saltiness go away from us, not letting the salty nature of who we're meant to be to start to dissipate. Lord, those are the warnings. God, we're asking that you would help us walk this out, not just for us, Lord, but also we're praying for the global church to be growing as true disciples that are launched out and influencing the world, the unreached peoples, God, as salt, light, and a city set up on a hill. Lord, we need you for this. We look to you for this. You've given us all the spiritual resources to actually walk this out in a very vital way. And so we trust you for that. We don't look to ourselves. We don't look to our own abilities to grow these eight Beatitudes. We say, Holy Spirit, come and enable us to grow step by step, little bit by little bit, in these eight characteristics, Lord, so that we can impact the world as salt, light, and city, and a city on a hill. Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, help us to take up this simple plan. Help us to understand this simple blueprint that you have for the Great Commission. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you this week.
To listen to more Mission Mobilization Chats, subscribe on YouTube or go to globalmmi.net.